greetings to everyone that's been attending the conference. And this message is coming on the final day, so you've already heard several messages from Keith. But the Lord put on my heart something that I think it's important to look at kind of where we are and what we've tried, what we've done, and the progress we've made, areas that we don't seem to make that much progress, or it's very slow. So those of you that are in the conference, and those here, it's important that we start looking a little closer and maybe getting off some, maybe the main points that we're looking at, sometimes the larger picture, and look at the smaller things. And they're not really smaller things because they're critical, but they're the type of things we have a tendency to skip over because we're going to what in our mind is the most important thing. Even our attitude and approach towards the Lord, that He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the architect. And He has a whole plan. Before we even arrived, was born on this earth, He already had the plan from now all the way through eternity. And we can't even imagine that. And we believe all that kind of stuff like that we hear in the head because it's in the scripture. But our actions say we don't really believe something like that in the heart. So you realize if He already knows who we're going to be, what His perfect will is for us, then everything He's going to do in your life from the time you're born is to try to bring you to that place. And any area you're going away from that, He's going to try to hinder you from going that way. Now, He's not going to destroy us to keep us from going the wrong way, but He's going to use different methods. And He'll try exhorting, He'll try reproving, and finally, He'll try rebuking. If that doesn't happen and time is really running out, if it's crucial, then we'll start reaping some crops that we've sown. It shows us we're going the wrong direction to wake us up. So there are many different ways He's functioned, but there's not even one of you not listening tonight, not listening this morning here, or any other Christian on this planet, which is about 1 billion people confessing to be Christians, but the other 5 billion or whatever they are on this planet that is not walking with Christ, He has a plan for them. They should be walking with Him. So it includes His plans for them to try to bring them to a point that they could actually have ears to hear. Because we all know that John 3:16, He doesn't desire that any be lost. If we all come to saving knowledge of Him. But I'm going to bring you back to those of us that are really seeking Him. Because Satan is very cunning, he's very crafty. And many times I think we stumble over that because we don't even look at that. There's methods he's using that we don't even notice that they're actually methods that are very effective against us to hinder us from being who God wants to be. And we don't even recognize his method because we don't even see anything going wrong in our minds. But it is going wrong. We underestimate the enemy. We underestimate, even though Jesus said he's deceptive above all creatures, that if possible, even the very elect would be deceived. Of course, Satan then comes along and tells everybody, you're the very elect, so you can't be deceived. And they believe that lie. And so they believe and reach their faith. They can't be deceived. And as soon as they do that, they're already deceived.
Yeah.
But they never look for why they're deceived because they don't believe they are. And just that one thing just continue to rob you, and he's deceiving you. Many of you heard my testimony many times. And when I would share my testimony, that's the first thing I would do if I'd ever meet any Christians that had a heart after God or didn't even have a heart after God. I would share my initial breaking and my testimony with the Lord. Those of you who followed the ministry and came back to hear more, then you heard more, it's not a lot of my testimony after the breaking and me falling in love with the Lord, my pursuing to know Him, and some things that I went through and places God put me to bring me to the point that I became later in my office. And sometimes you're not careful, you hear that, and you say, wow, he went through a hard time. You hear my testimony of how fast I grew. You think, I like that part, but I don't like the part of how he got there, what he went through to get there. I know Keith shares with you. He shares sometimes his testimony of his training under me. And he may share with you the pressure that was put on him by me, the Lord through me, to do a certain work in him. And that could even frighten you, that you're not sure if you're willing to do that. We're sharing our testimony, not your testimony. The difference is, I'm an apostolic ministry. Keith is an apostolic ministry. So the depth of the foundations of humility, faith, and everything else was going to have to be much deeper in us because of the amount of pressure that would be on us to do our job. So it's just like in the military, you got many different kinds of soldiers, and they're all necessary. There's a lot of difference between a regular soldier and, in our country, special forces or a Navy SEAL, something like that. Because 90-something percent of all the soldiers would not even qualify to try out for the higher level. And what they put them through, the others could not endure it. They could not handle what's been put through. And it's not required of them, because they don't have the ability to do that. God's grace is sufficient. If he's called you to be what I'm called to be, then there's grace there then for you to endure what I had to endure or what you need to endure. What Keith needed to endure is different than what I need to endure, even though we have the same office, because I pioneered everything that was done of what we teach. So that was a different category. Everything I had come directly from the Holy Spirit. It didn't come through someone else that experienced it, fine-tuned it, and here's an outline. Here, read this book and just do what it says. I knew nobody knew anything about it. So my faith in the Lord alone had to be developed very quickly. Where somebody else, but I'm not sure if I trust the Lord, but I trust Keith knows what he's talking about. I've heard his testimony, so I'm going to follow the instructions. Or I read Joseph's book, and the Holy Spirit witnessed to it, so I believe that, so I'll follow that. Then you still struggle with it. But some of it is because of what you're called to be. Your faith is important. If you start believing that you have to go through the trials that Keith or I went through to be who you're supposed to be, and then you're resisting that, Satan is just robbing you because you're resisting God and rebelling in an area that he wouldn't even require of you to start with. That's really sad. The principle that you're going to have to do are the same. The foundations are the same. The depth and the strength of the foundations are not the same. Everybody's going to deal with his lordship. You're going to have trust with all your heart. But you may have to trust with all your heart up to 100 pounds worth of pressure. That's it. I may have to trust him at 10,000 pounds of pressure. Then mine has to be much stronger and deeper. I hope you understand the difference in what I'm talking about. So it doesn't matter what your calling is. His grace is sufficient for your calling. I had grace for what he called me to do. I didn't have a problem with that. I didn't wrestle with that. It wasn't because I was, quote, more spiritual than somebody else. I was just childlike faith, and you could have the same childlike faith, but not do the same things that I did. Because your faith in that area doesn't have to be as deep. It only has to be as deep as what he's requiring of you. So you need to understand, Satan gets us compared to others or something they went through. So that's one thing you need to look at. You're listening to most of the teachings of me or Keith or my book series. And you're seeing the truth laid out in an order that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt what we're talking about. The Spirit will bear witness. And you embrace that truth because you know it's the truth because the Holy Spirit witnessed to it. But doing it is something else. We start off in the natural because that's the way we were taught. Everything functioned from the natural, our reasoning and our understanding. That's a hard conversion. And you cannot do it from the natural realm. It can only be done from the spiritual realm. But most of us was never taught how to live in the spiritual realm. We were taught how to live spiritually in the natural realm. In other words, do spiritual things in the natural. That is producing the fruit of good in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you're just deceived and you're just missing God as if you're doing the evil. It's actually more dangerous because you know the evil's wrong. But the good you're doing, you can believe it's right. Satan can get you to believe that is right. Just because you're doing a good thing, but you're doing with the wrong motive, wrong attitude, from the wrong spirit, and God doesn't receive any glory from it. So it has no eternal value for you if God doesn't receive any glory for it. Glory means credit due him. So in this teaching that I feel like God gave me to share with you, was talking about multitasking. I'm sure most of you are familiar with that. And when you look at someone else and we say, wow, they can do two or three things at one time. And I have trouble keeping focused on one thing. So we look at somebody that might do two or three things at a time. The reason most of them can do that is because one of those or two of those, they have done it so habitually, regularly, they don't even have to think to do it. So they can be tasking, thinking something else, and muscle memory and all that just takes over and they can do it. They can sit there and be, you can play the piano, but you can be singing a song at the same time. Well, it's hard to think of the words and the keys at the same time. You know, so you're multitasking doing that. Thing that you do in the home regularly. You can be doing that, but talking to somebody else about something else, and all that's just kind of on automatic pilot. Now, some are a little better in that than others are. How good are you at that? I'm not the best in the world at that. Well, let me ask you another question. How good do you believe Jesus is at it? Just getting in what we want to talk about tonight, today. How good do you believe Jesus is at multitasking? Can he do two or three things at one time? Maybe he can do four or five things at one time? As your faith is, we started that, you believe you can do three things at one time. Okay. You believe you can do 10 things, you say yes. You believe you can do 10 things at one time. You might say yes to that. Now, I'm not talking about your head, I'm talking about you really believe in your heart. You believe you can do 100 things at one time. 100 different things. Well, scripturally, yes. But do you really believe that in your heart? What if you kicked it up to 1,000? Or 10,000? Or 1,000,000? Or 1,000,000,000? Or on up from there? Do you really believe that in your heart? Let's bring all that back down to you. How much multitasking is he doing with you? Because when he speaks something to you, what all is going on in his mind? What are his thoughts behind what he just said? We all know the scripture that as your faith is, so be it unto you. So in this one particular area, it's important how much you believe that. At what point do you go from belief to unbelief? At what point do you go from actually believing in your heart, but you know the scripture, so you still believe in your head, but you quit believing it in your heart? Because what you believe in your heart is what you do. So at what point does it start shifting over? It's important for you to ask yourself that question. 1 Corinthians 2, I've read this so many times, but I'm going to read it one more time, two or three verses, 12 through 14. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. If you hear truth in something, and my testimony, Keith's, anybody else's, of how they walk in a certain level, did you ever have a point to where you doubted that or that? That sounds silly. How many of you ever read My Sheep or My Voice when you first started? And you start talking about asking God what kind of clothes to put on. All these little things. How foolish does that sound in your mind? If it sounds foolish in your mind, it just shows you are in the carnal realm, in the natural. Because in the natural, it will seem foolish. Everybody wants to hear the deeper things of God. Then if you're going to be in the natural, the deeper things of God you share, the more foolish they'll become. And if you keep doing that, somebody with authority will hear you and lock you up. Because they say this person is crazy. The greater includes the lesser. This is a statement I heard from Arthur Burchill, Pebbles to Slay Goliath, 45 years ago or more. And when I heard that, I knew the Holy Spirit bore witness to me. I knew that was the truth, but I didn't understand it. You see, you don't have to understand to believe something. The fact when he shared it and the Holy Spirit bore witness to me, I embraced that as a fact. Didn't make any sense to my natural realm. I didn't care. Now, I'm just new at this. I was in training with the Lord at that time. So I made a decision, then I'm going to include the greater. And he shared some on that. Because that's obvious in everything, and that's a real key to understand. It kind of seems a lot at odds with we're teaching you when it manifests as fruit, sin manifests as fruit, and you need to get down to the root where it came from. But this statement is like it goes the other direction. The greater includes the lesser. It's like you're doing the lesser and you're going up to the greater. But the reality is you're going from the lesser down to the greater. So don't let that get confusing in your mind. Because any level that you're at in anything, there is something below it, unless it's the absolute bottom. There is something less than it. And there's usually something above it, up to a certain point. So there's an end at both of those. And we're normally somewhere in the middle. But if everything above is contributing to everything below, if I could go from, I'm at step one, and go to fifth thing above it and eliminate that, it eliminated the other four. Because they're dependent on what's coming from five. But if I could get up to nine, eliminate that, then everything eight down is eliminated. I did not understand that, except from that point on, my attitude was, I'm going to seek God to show me the greater. What is the greater problem? What's wrong in my life that's contributing and process and allowing all these other things to happen in my life? Because if I can take that one, you know, it includes all the lesser. Now, you have a tendency to back off from that because that's much more difficult. The enemy is going to fight much harder to keep you from getting to that. For example, if it's 10 things, top is 10, you can deal with three, and there may be four reasons why you're doing three wrong. But there could be 28 while you're doing 10 wrong. So it's going to take longer to get there. But once you did, all the others are gone. And I didn't know that till I went ahead, stuck with it, and kept going back to the Lord. Okay, give me another reason why this is happening, so that I could repent and let it go. And when I finally got to the last one, all those other nine, that I, at that time, I thought, well, I'll go work on them too, because I really didn't understand the principle. I just knew that's right. But all of a sudden then, things that I would do before that would get blocked by number four or number five didn't block it anymore. That just went. Things that I'd done before that a number two on there would have blocked. Now I tried to do it and nothing blocked it. So it's kind of like the domino effect. Started taking those out, then everything that would have opened up wrong was shut off. Just by taking a little extra time by going to the greater first. Or as we would say in the tree, getting to the root of it. And many people spend their whole lives dealing with the fruit, the very least. And if you take that off, all you took was that off. And it just right back one thing, and it's right back again. Satan not only uses that, because how many of you ever had this thought? The fruit manifested that the Lord convicted me because I wasn't reading my Bible enough. So what's the answer? Lord, I'm sorry, I'm not reading my Bible enough. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to start making time. I'm going to start reading my Bible regularly. Well, you made that decision from the natural, and now you're doing the good thing you should have done, but you're doing it from the wrong motivation and from the wrong spirit. Amen. And therefore, you're still in the same tree. You just changed branches. You went from evil to good. And you still, the whole tree's alive. For you to get rid of that, you've got to go to the root of it. But most people don't want to do that because it seems so uncomfortable. And we talk about it's important to know the steps in between so when they show up, you can deal with somewhere between 10 and you know, the biggest reason down to the one, the fruit. But we just take that and we play around with it. But God says, you got to look at it. If you can't go all the way to number 10, at least try 5 or 6. Don't just keep playing around on the thing that manifests. As your faith is, try to go as far as your faith that lets you go. But when you start seeing that domino effect, you went to 4 instead of 1, you saw 3 on leave, then you'd be a little braver about jumping up to 7, see some more leave. And after you do that a few times, then you'll start going for the top one every time. Just go for it and phew, take out the whole thing. So that really accelerates things. So the greater included the lesser. I sought the greater. The many process the lesser from the natural. Which do you seek? That's what you need to ask you the question. How far is your knowledge ahead of your wisdom? That's a common problem, James 1:22. Be doers of the word and not hearers, only deceiving yourself. You get revelation, that's knowledge. But when you become a doer of that word consistently, you're going to gain experience. And the spirit experience is going to produce wisdom. And that will balance your knowledge because the scripture says knowledge puffs up. But the wisdom brings humility and it balances it so that your knowledge doesn't puff you up. So it has to be that process. The trouble with going to most Bible colleges or seminaries is you sit there for 4 years and you just get knowledge and they come up puffed up in pride. With hardly any wisdom. And that's just the way it seems right, but that's not discipling. Because discipling was you got some knowledge and you had to do it. Got some knowledge and you had to do it. And you corrected if you couldn't do it right till you could do it. And you got some more knowledge. We left that for a better system. We can do a whole group at one time this other way. But you don't get the same result. This is the main thing I want to get to in on this is, again, how God works dealing with us. The Holy Spirit, He assigned the Holy Spirit as our teacher. But everything the Holy Spirit's teaching came from the Lord. Because He's the architect, He's the author, He's the finisher. So how God grades and responds to His commands. So when the Holy Spirit or God is teaching, whether it's the Father, the Holy Spirit, or Jesus directly, when God is teaching us, how does He grade us on what He is teaching us? You know, when we went to school, the teacher's going to teach you something, but sooner or later, they're going to give a test, and they're going to grade you on how you did, when you're paying attention, where you got the right answer. So we know how we would do that in school. So how much multitasking as a teacher, Julia, Patty, did you do when you was in class? I mean, if you had their elementary school and you had reading or arithmetic or English, maybe geography later on, when you gave a test, did your test include English, geography, and all the other subjects? Or was it usually the history test, if that's what you're studying, or whatever? But it included something, a certain amount, but it was limited on what you were testing him at the same time. But you were testing at that grade level. When the Lord is doing the teaching, the question is, were you in the spirit or the flesh when you received it? Because every one of us had the Holy Spirit speak to us when we was in the flesh and speak to us when we were in the spirit. You sin, the Holy Spirit convicts you and gives you instruction on what you're supposed to do. To repent of. So we were in the flesh or in the spirit when you received it. If you were in the flesh, the first step is to get in the spirit. Always under all conditions. There's not a second. If you don't do the first one, that's it. You stay there until you do the first one. There will not be any changing and fixing the problem and going on to the next thing if you did not do that first thing first. You could spend 5 years in the flesh doing every wonderful thing you can think of and you'll still have the problem. So to start with, you've got to be in the kingdom of God, which puts you in his classroom consistently in the spirit. If you didn't, anything else you do is a complete failure, whether it's good or bad. Do you really believe that? That's the truth. If you're not in the Spirit first, and you try to repent from not being in the Spirit, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter if you keep doing the bad thing, or like I said, you change from what you found out was bad and you start doing what you found out you should have done. So you do the good thing. You're still failing. If you got in the Spirit first, made an attempt to obey, Jesus is grading you in several areas. If you did the serve, you get convicted, the first thing you do is repent of your lordship, get in the spirit, then the Lord starts teaching you. Now this is where I'm going to get into some of the multitasking from Jesus' point. Because I think that's important that we don't realize it because we have a tendency to bring the Holy Spirit's teaching or the Lord's teaching down to a human teacher with limitations of a human teacher. And so we think of the process. Because generally what happens is you get convicted of one singular thing that he convicts you of and he gives you a command. You're supposed to repent of that and he gives you the command of what to do at that point. So we think in terms, he's now grading me on how I did the one thing he told me to do. Because that's what we do in the natural. That is not the way the Holy Spirit teaches. It's not the way the Lord teaches. If you got in and you made an attempt to obey Jesus, made to obey Jesus grading you in several areas, I'm just going to list some. Now, this is not in any particular order and is certainly not exhaustive. Just some where you get an idea how multitasking he is in his approach. Because if he gives you a command, I don't care what the command is. I don't care if it's go to Timbuktu or the furthest place on this planet, or to go put a blue shirt on instead of a red one, or the simple little everyday things I talk about. He gives you any commandment that's going to take any energy or effort for you to do. 1 Corinthians 3 says, whatever you do, if you make any effort to do, is going to be tested by fire. Mm-hmm. If it passes test, you'll receive a reward that'll go into your account. If it burns up, you'll suffer the loss of the reward you should have. So everything has a potential for gain. But for example, though, the reason most people stumble at the little things is, in their minds, it's not important. Because they see him judging me as whether I had the right shirt on or not. They were like, well, what difference does that make what shirt I got on? What has that got to do with anything? Because all you're seeing is you think he's just grading you on whether you had the right shirt on or not. Singular. That's his singular purpose. And that's what most people think in those terms. So I'm going to just list a few other things, no matter whether it's a small thing or a big thing he commands you to do. It's also going to include these other areas that he's going to grade you on that exact same command that's included in that command that he's actually grading you on. Number one, were you trusting him with all your heart? Whatever you did you do it just because it was easy? Or were you actually trusting with all your heart? You're saying, he's grading you in that. Two, you know that comes from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Also there, not leaning to your own understanding. So he gave you that commandment. He's grading you on, did you lean to your own understanding? Or did you not lean to your own understanding and just did what he said? He's going to grade you on that. Because all of these, just keep in mind, if you're in the first grade, there's a multiple things you're teaching as a teacher to get them to second grade. God's teaching you wherever you are, but the difference between God is, you can be at first grade in one subject, 12th grade in another, 10th in another, 5th. You can be a professor in one. You can be preschool in one. And he's grading every one of those on where you are, but also in comparison to where you could be, what he's requiring of you. So there's a grading going on. Three, acknowledging him in all your ways. In other words, if you didn't lean to your own understanding, then did you acknowledge him in all your ways? Because sometimes we don't really lean to our understanding, we don't acknowledge him either. We just don't do nothing. We just skip it and get out of our mind and go on. Number four, obeying him. When he gave you that commandment, he's going to be grading you on your obedience to that commandment. Was it instant obedience? Or did you procrastinate 5 minutes for an hour, a day, a week? Number five, he's going to grade you on your motive, whether it was because you love him or not. You understand? These are for everything he commands you, the simplest things you can imagine. And you're just seeing the simple thing, not these other critical foundational things. But he's grading you on that. Number five, Notice you have done that. Number six, attitude towards Him. Did I do motive?
Yes.
Okay. Attitude towards Him and His Word. And you heard me share all these things in my testimony because I share probably the three most important things that happened that allowed me to grow the way I did was, the first thing was settled was, He is absolutely Lord of my life. I give Him all my heart. And the second was, my motivation was to love Him. That's what I wanted to do. I didn't know how to do it, but that's what I wanted to do, to show love back to Him. And second, third was my attitude towards Him and towards His Word. And I've shared with you some testimony and things about that. But I realized it starts with my faith in Him. Those who believe in Him and are baptized shall be saved. Not just believing in things He said. My faith is in Him, and the greater includes the lesser, then that includes everything He says or does. See the difference? Otherwise, you got to go through 10 million things He said or done and try to work through believing each one of those. So you're going from the lesser, trying to get to the greater, and I started with the greater, and everything else coming up. So all you had to do is speak something to Him, and it was, yes, Lord. You've heard that in my testimony. I know it sounds crazy to some of you, but I would say before I ever ask God for a direction, the answer is yes. I don't wait till I get the direction to see if I'm going to trust Him and obey it. It's yes before I ever ask Him the question. And I'm not nervous about asking it. And don't have an opinion about it. I'm going to do whatever He said. That don't mean that I'm capable of that moment. But I will do it, because if He told me to do it, that's the anointing. Then that means He's going to supply whatever I need to get it done. The Spirit of the Lord will be on me to enable me to get it. I believe that. I don't have no problems with that. So it don't matter if it looks impossible. That's not my problem, that's His. He's the one that gave the direction. He's the one that gave the authorization. So He's responsible for providing what it takes to get done what He said. He knows my limitations better than I know them. And if it wasn't possible for Him to give me what I need to do it, He would not have given me command. Otherwise, He would have been causing me to sin. There's no way to do that. That's back to that childlike faith. Another area that He's grading is your strength and depth of your foundation in each area. Because every one of these things that He's speaking to you has a foundation of what level you trust Him there and in what depth you trust Him in that one area. Like say one area, you may trust Him with all your heart. Another, you only trust Him 50% or 30%. So He'll be judging where you are. And you made it 22% on this one. Well, if you only made it 20% before, you're making progress.
Yeah.
If you're doing 30 and you drop back 22, you're going the wrong direction. See, He deals with you where you are in every particular area. He's grading you on your faith in every area that is tested. Every area. So if He's sharing and walking you through something, there may be several stages or steps to go through. And each one of those, you can say, well, how did my faith do on these? We think of one thing. How did I do on faith? Lord, give me a grade. And He may say, well, you made an 87. But there might have been 25 things that He tested your faith on, and you might have made 90 on some, 77 on something, and all the averages of those have been the 87. You understand? But we only hear the one thing, but he knows all the other ones that's related to that. It's part of that overall. And we don't even know he's even grading us in that. But if he's Lord, he will start dealing with the reasons on each one of those why you didn't make 100. And they should all be coming up. In each area, it would be from where you are. Because if you already have work done over here that you could do about 95, then he's grading you differently than it would if it's an area you were making 65 and you went up to 75. It would still increase. So it's not just you overall, what we think in school, you're in the second grade, you're in the third grade. No, you can be, you're on a different grade on everything in your life. Everything is separate. It's a foundational stone. And there's a way to strengthen it, and there's ways to deepen it. Number nine is your level of hungering and thirsting. That's important because the Lord said, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. So he's going to test that because that's a precondition to being filled. So he doesn't just ignore that. So in every area, he wants you to have the fullness, every area. Then in every area, he's going to be testing the level of hungering and thirsting you have in that. Because some areas, well, I really want to do that. So you're really hungry and thirsty. In another area, I don't know about that. So you don't really have it. So this area you get revelation, the other area you don't get revelation. So he's going to work on this one over here. There are reasons why you aren't hungering and thirsting on this one as much as you're hungering and thirsting on that. Not just a blanket average of hungering and thirsting that we would do in our grading system. We would take the average of the whole thing. Now this is multitasking. Number 10. Willingness to deny yourself. Every area that he comes through, something he said, or any part of that area you're trying to walk out, if it's going to be contrary to what you really want, are you willing to do? Are you willing to change what you're willing at that point and embrace his? Or in that area, I'm not willing, but I am over here. I'll do this, I'll do that. So we'll pick something we are willing and do that and think I did okay. But he was testing every area. And this one we actually willing to do. We didn't get a very high grade because this is a real low grade over here. And it contributed to the overall average of it. Number 11, willingness to give up your will for his. And that's a tough one. Willingness to give up your will for his. Remember in John 5:30, Jesus said, he did not seek or consult his own will, as the Amplified, but the will and the good pleasure of the Father who sent him. Are you willing to do that? Even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he had a will. It's possible let this pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He didn't say it's wrong to be something you would choose. It's just if it's a choice between that and God's will, there's no choice. So if I know what God's will is, I'm not going to seek my will for my own opinion. So about it. Number 12, the Lord's going to be grading you at the level you are. I already shared this in each area, with the goal of where you are going. And that's everybody's different. But he's dealing with you every area, exactly where you are, not where I am or Keith or somebody else is, where you are. With in mind a goal of where he's trying to bring you to, not worry about Keith or me or somebody else. For you. And when you reach that, you're just as faithful as I was when I reached that. Even if I might have been 3 times higher. If it was, he gave me grace to do 3 times higher. If he gave me what grace you had to do yours, then that's all I could do. So you're just as faithful as I am in that. It had nothing to do with the end result. It has to do with where he picked the end result. And you hit the mark. It's your mark, not mine. You don't have to hit mine or Keith's or anybody else's mark. You got to hit your mark. And Satan will make you think you've got to hit somebody else's mark. That's sometimes where testimony can be good, but we try to break it down mainly to see the simplicity of it and our humanity, so you're not thinking it's some super spiritual something. But at the same time, it just happens to be rising to a level that you're not called to go to. And Satan easily comes that angel of light and get you to believing, I'm going to be able to do everything he did to get to the level I'm supposed to be. No. If you're called to be a two-story building, then you only need the strength and depth foundation for a two-story building. You're supposed to be a 50, that's a different ballgame. There'll be a lot more pressure put on you to deepen and to strengthen that foundation. But you'll have grace to endure it. But it goes one stage at a time. It doesn't go from handling 2 stories to 50 stories. It's alternating between building a floor on and the same part-time working on the foundation, then adding more. So it's back and forth. I've shared that in my testimony. And number 13, faithfulness. Faithfulness. We know the scripture said, you not know that the trying of your faith is much more precious than gold which perishes. Every little thing, God is testing your faithfulness. You say, well, I don't have the faith somebody else has in this area. Or I don't have enough faith to do that. Yeah, and what do you have enough faith to do? Have you ever heard the thought, well, if I had Keith's faith or JC's faith, I could do that. No, you wouldn't. You should be making the same excuses you're making now. Because his grace is sufficient. And you can have the faith that it takes to do what he said now. We all say, well, if I had more, I could do that. But the scripture said, if you weren't faithful in the smaller things, you won't be faithful in the larger things. And the problem with that is, you don't even get a chance at the larger things. Then the devil plays in your mind and says, well, God don't love me, that's not fair. He let so-and-so do that and he won't let me do it. It's because they were faithful in the smaller things when you were saying, well, that's not important, I want to get on with the bigger things. So you weren't faithful with what he gave you. That's why the Lord had me break it. I broke it down and asked God's approval. Break it down, can I ask you about these things? But my only motivation was to show him that I loved him. And I figured, well, the smaller things, I get more opportunities during the day to say I love you than if I was just waiting on the bigger things. I wouldn't have as many chances to say I love you. And maybe the bigger one might be a greater expression, but it's consistency. As I did that, as my faith deepened and strengthened, then the hardness of the commandments come, and the more trust and love had to be put into him to do it, and he responded accordingly. But I never got there by starting there. I had to start with what he gave me first. Work what you've got. And when you've proven you're going to be faithful, and every just use the old saying, do the best you can with what you got to work with. So you do that, those then you have that much. And those who have more be given. I mean, that's the principle. But if you're not doing what he's already given you, you don't have it. You just got head knowledge of it. It's not in your heart. You don't possess it in your spirit and in your heart. If Jesus is grading you on many areas, then you should be working on many areas. That make sense? Because this list I just gave you, was it 13 things?
Yes.
I guarantee that doesn't even scratch the surface of what he's doing. I just want to give you enough to get out of the realm of the natural of what we could do. Because we can do that. Because you'd have to know a person's mind to be able to do that. So if Jesus is grading us on those different areas, then that means he's authorized us to adjust things in those many areas. In other words, if he 13 different areas he graded us in, and once you graded someone and you give them their grade, they come to you and you give them the grade, you can find out, am I short here? What did I do wrong? What should I have done here? And get instruction on how to correct what you did in those 13 areas that you didn't know anything about it because you thought it was just one thing. But you don't ever learn anything from that because you don't ever ask him. You get in the spirit, and then we go to him and we ask him the one thing that we got convicted of. And if we get an answer to that, we go off trying to do that. But it never entered our mind to ask, is there anything else? Mm-hmm. How many times have you in Europe here has ever heard me say, well, the last things I asked the Lord, Lord, is there anything else I should ask you? When I'm in that teaching situation, is there anything else I should ask you? Or is there anything else you want to say to me? But most people assume because they got an answer for the question they asked, and that was the only question they had, then class is over. But the student doesn't get to decide that. The teacher decides. But we don't treat Jesus or the Holy Spirit like they're the teacher. We treat them like they're a tutor that we hired and we're paying to help us. Well, that's all the time I have today, so I'm going to go play golf or do something else. So don't get in a hurry once you're there. That's what I seem to see in most people is, it's like we can't stand success. You have enough trouble getting in his presence to start asking questions and deal with something, and as soon as you won't answer, you get out of it. Or you go off chasing that, rather than my attitude was, anything I can think of and do that I can still stay here a little longer, I'm asking permission. So, what did God see in my heart? He's hungering and thirsting, and he's going to be filled. So that means things that you got to understand, it's like a minimum that's required. But like in my case, if I'm, as a minimum, to stay up to, in class, a passing grade. I said, God, but what about all the things I've already missed and I'm behind? Yeah. Instead of going playing golf on Saturday, can I spend 10, 12 hours with you learning some of the things that I missed before? And he said, as long as you're making a high grade on the other, yes. So I spent, I didn't have any days off. I spent, I thought of like a job when I put 40 hours in. Okay, instead of having the rest of the time off, I put another 16 hours in, redeeming the time of what I should have lost. So over a matter of 3 or 4 years, all the years of what I should have learned, I caught all those up. So I was never in any hurry to leave. I wasn't, well, it's time to go eat now, or I need to go do it. I stayed there until the Holy Spirit said, that's all for today, go do something else. I wasn't looking for an end, you understand what I'm saying? I've been there if it's daylight. And nothing entered my mind to do anything else but stay there. And that's one of the things I see missing in the body of Christ and in Friends of SOLM a lot, is when you get there, you don't work it enough. You go there because you have one problem that you had ears to hear. But you didn't know all the problems that the Holy Spirit's got ears to hear.
Yes.
Or even what other things he was greeting you on when you asked the one question. So don't assume you know anything. Don't think, period. It's the same thing with Jesus. I don't seek or consult my own will with the will of my Father. Do you think it's the will of the Father that the Holy Spirit teach you all things like Jesus said he would? Then why are we looking for anything other than that? He should be the one taking the initiative to come aside. I should be seeking the opportunity to come aside, but I'm in no hurry whatsoever to get back out of the classroom. I'm not ready for leisure time, because he knows what I'm able to handle. He promises, I won't try you beyond what you're able to endure. I'll make a way of escape. So he's not going to overload you and tell you so much that you can't handle it. Because every time he tells you something, that's the anointing. He authorized you to be that. And I caught that earlier about the anointing. That, first of all, when God finally called me in the ministry, I realized, okay, he authorized me to be a student. Studying, I didn't know what I was going to be a student for. He had called me in the ministry, he didn't give me the office. So I'm authorized, I'm anointed to be a student. That means that I'm authorized the Holy Spirit to be on me to enable me to be the kind of student he wants me to be. And with that direction, that anointing, it also authorized me to receive whatever I need to be able to do what he authorized me to do. So someone says, well, I can't concentrate that long. You can if he increases your concentration.
Yeah.
Then you need to believe, well, then he increased it. Or like my case, well, I couldn't sit that long. My back would be hurting. No, I can sit there all night long, as long as he says it, and the back won't be hurt. Well, I just say, Lord, is that going to be a hindrance? And he says, no. And I don't have another thought about it. And it's not a hindrance. He knows all these things. And if something needs to be adjusted, he'll either give you the grace to do it, or he'll release you from it. He'll make a way of escape. It comes back to that faith in him, not trying to believe everything he says. Don't limit yourself to what can be done naturally. Live in the kingdom of God and upgrade. Just live in the kingdom of God and keep upgrading. You've heard this many times, 1 Corinthians 13, 12:31. He's talking about the gifts, and he said, desire or covet the great best gifts, but let me show you a more excellent way. You've heard that from me many times. There's always a more excellent way. Because when you're faithful at whatever level you are, there's an upgrade coming. There's always another level. You don't ever hit one level in God, and that's it. I shared with Aaron, I shared with Keith, that when it's being trained, it's the first thing you need to understand, the Lord doesn't have any graduates. You start off as a full-time student, that's discipling, full-time student, with someone that's already doing it. Travel with me, Aaron, Keith, travel with me. They saw me doing what I was preaching. They could ask questions about what they saw after the meeting. Then I authorized them to do certain things that they were capable for, greet them on that, make corrections till they could do that. Then they're authorized to do something else. When they could do it to the point they could do it consistently, had fruit proven they could do it, then they was authorized to start doing something else. So they started as a full-time student, moved into still a full-time student, but a part-time minister. Then they reached a level when they were ordained, become full-time ministers. But at that time, also part-time student. Part-time student. So you never want to reach the point you graduated and you're just the teacher and you're no longer a student. There's always another level. The first ordination is just the entry level. And no matter, if you go to the highest calling there is, you're still not graduated. Because even within that calling, there's also more depth of foundation, humility, and strength can add to what you can do at that calling. In other words, Keith and Aaron and I are apostles, and we're authorized different things, and one can be authorized to do 100 things, and both may be authorized to do 150 or whatever. You understand? But it's still the same office. It's not a higher office to go to. It's just what level you authorize at that point. And if you're not where you should be, it's because you're not being a part-time student where you should be. Because we think in the natural, we just want to graduate, get our degree, and get on with it. It doesn't work that way. Not in God's kingdom. I'm going back over some very simple things that most of you never got the first time. Because if you had, you wouldn't be where you are. Because if you know you're not where you should be at this time, I guarantee you, you heard tonight the reasons. May not be all of them, but it's enough that you could grow so fast and make your head swim. You just processed and dealt with what you heard tonight. No more excuses. Just do it right the first time. Get in the spirit. Zip it. You're not interested in your opinions about nothing. And have a heart that's after Him for the right reasons. Right motive, right attitude. And just obey Him because you love Him. Don't try to figure anything out. Faith doesn't need to know. I just need to hear what He says. And I want to. So I'm hungering and thirsting. I'm knocking. I'm seeking. And the door's open. You have to supply that part. You're not going to force anything. Many of us act like God's going to force something on you. But how long have you been around this ministry? If He's going to force you to do it, then you should be walking on water by now, you know. The fact that you're not shows He's not going to force you to do it. And you're not doing Him a favor for doing it. He's doing you the favor. And so we had an even little better attitude than that, because we get an attitude sometimes like, well, when I finally do it right, I want Him to pat me on the shoulder because I did something right I should have done 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. Now, He's happy you did that. But now get on to the next thing, don't. In 3 months, partying about that one thing you did. You got that, now you know how to do it, go get another one. And continue to seek it. The interesting thing about being in the last days, where sin is abounding, grace is much more abound. If you're wondering why one of the doctrines being taught all over the world right now, and Satan has one right after the other, every time there's something comes into a time when God's going to do something important, Satan immediately floods the market with counterfeits. So that it makes you afraid, either think the real one's wrong, or you're afraid to try it because there's a conflict. And that is on grace. They take one scripture, God's grace is sufficient. And that means that there's nothing you can do because grace is unmerited. So there's nothing you can do. So everything's already predestined. God's ordained it. It's going to happen no matter what you do or not. His grace is sufficient. Well, you know what you're called to be. You know what standard God's called you to be. Are you there? If His grace is sufficient and doesn't require anything on your side, then why aren't you where you're supposed to be? Explain that to me. When are you going to get there? How can you know you're years behind if His grace is sufficient and you don't have to do anything? His grace is sufficient when you meet His conditions for sufficient grace. God says, I give grace to the humble. I resist the proud. What do we not believe about that? When you're being Lord of your life, He's resisting you. You're not going to make any progress. When you're humble and He's Lord, He not only gives you grace, but He gives you all the grace you need to be what He calls you to be now. And the thing of it is, He's authorizing us to go to levels now that we were never authorized to go to before because of the times that we're living in. So some of you may look back and marvel at how fast I grew. When I share that part of my testimony, people still struggle with that, of how fast I grew without a book or anything else. Then that's nearly 50 years ago. Now you have all the book series. We're 50 years closer to the Lord's coming, so we're more in the last days, seeing more signs. So then, as sin is abounding, grace is much more abound. Well, sin is abounding more on this earth than it was 50 years ago when I was getting the message. That means there's more grace available here now for you than there was when I started. So what's your excuse? Because some of you act like there was more grace 50 years ago. There wasn't. It was sufficient. But it's not only efficient now, it's abundant. This is time not only to have sufficient grace to grow up and get where you're supposed to be, but to grow up at an unprecedented rate. Because there's so much that's already been done for you. It's just like taking the technology to go from one technology you have now to the next is very fast. But it originally came from a technology 100 process before that, that took a long time to get to the second one and a little less to get to the third one. But now, time one comes out, they've already got another ready to come out. And that's what you should be. So from where I was, the grace I had, you got more grace. So in my mind, it always perplexed me. I think everybody should be growing much faster than I did. And most of you do not believe that in your heart. In your head, you believe that I went that space because of my calling. No, it's because of my calling that I needed more grace because it was a harder training in the area. But it wouldn't have made any difference. I didn't even know what I was called to be. And so when I was doing what I'm trying to get most of you to do, that consistency was done when I didn't know anything about a calling. It was just doing the same basic things I've taught everyone you to do without having to spend the kind of hours I spent with the Holy Spirit digging everything out in the Bible and putting it together. So look at what you believe and start letting the Lord show you the reasons why you're not believing the truth. Because it says, your faith is again, so be it unto you. And remember, he's grading everything. So when you get before him, ask him to talk to you about everything he's graded you on now. Not just the one thing you came there because you had eyes to see and got convicted of it. Lord, what else are you grading me on while I'm trying to do this one? And you can make some serious progress across the board. So you do one thing, and yet now you got an opportunity just to get the answers for 20 others that you didn't do anything of, that you're conscious of doing it. Yet still you were graded because you did something and you don't even know what you did. So it's not like you had to go know it and do that. He just shows you what you did and why it was wrong and it's what you should have done. Look how fast that is. But just sitting there in his presence doing nothing but listening and believing and not bringing him down to our technology, rising up to his. And we've not even got a glimpse of it because it's higher than the heavens. That's millions of light years. We have trouble seeing 30 feet ahead of where we are. So you need to work on your faith in that area. Why don't I really believe it's that high? Because to me, I believe that. And because I believe it, I'd be stupid to try to help him. And I can't think of anything to be much dumber than that, than try to help somebody that's much smarter than you are. That just makes you look foolish. And that's why in the last days, one of the signs is, people who profess themselves to be wise, they become fools. They'd end up the signs of the lifetime in 2 Timothy 3:7. Ever learning, never actually coming to the knowledge of truth. It's back to that 1 Corinthians 2. It seems foolish in the spirit. They can't understand it because it's spiritual. You know all this, but you got to go back and do the basics. And the reason you don't do it is because you don't believe it. Or you don't trust him. So just get it down simple. But go for the greater. And then you start getting the domino effect. You spent too much time dealing with the tree, the fruit, and many times in trying to deal with it from doing good things, not actually. Because you can't really deal with it in the spirit without dealing with the root. Because it'll just come back again. Okay, so I hope you were blessed with the conference. Keith loaded you up with a lot of things to work on. Hopefully this giving you some things to think about. But go back and keep it simple. God is not the author of confusion. Amen.